Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to JMS Boxing Podcast with me, John.
I'm Sam.
And today we have got a duo with Lee Noon, who I know is a former opponent of yours.
Straight into it.
Yeah, it usually starts, oh, let's take it back.
I'll do it straight away. And Dave Noon, thank you guys for joining us. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
I thought I'd get it straight in.
That's the episode, don't see that.
Just to put more salt into the wound.
I don't. Have we had it where if we've had a former opponent on for either of us? No, I know I ain't.
First one.
Yeah, so this will be the first one. Yeah. Anyway, we will, after that little bit, let's strip it back. Normally, like all my guests, how did you get into boxing?
My dad got me into boxing, really. We moved down here from Blackpool, didn't we?
Yeah.
I had a very strong northern accent.
Did you?
The whole northern and southern thing.
What?
You know?
How old was you when you moved down?
9, 10.
Something like that. Yeah.
Just started secondary school, literally. I think I was about 2 weeks into secondary school, so about 11, 12.
Because I moved down from, I lived in Manchester until I was about 7.
Yeah,
and then I had a really bad Manc accent as I come down.
I say, mom really fast on grass.
Anyway, carry on.
So yeah, and I used to start get like, not picked on, but I used to have the mickey taken out of me a bit, didn't I? And my dad used to drink up the social club, like Broadwoods. He met a bloke, was it Colin Smith? Colin? I think his name was Colin. I'm sure it's Colin. He was an old trainer down at Brompton, at Golden Gloves.
Bill Beck.
And Todd Mills as well. I've known Todd my whole life. He was always boxing at Repton. He was a fantastic boxer. He sort of introduced me to Bill, and I went down to Brompton, which was down at the Brompton Barracks, I believe, at the time.
Over the road.
Five of us sharing one bag, a ring, and a mirror, and that was what we had back then.
Did you go down there just to train or what?
Yeah, literally just to sort of like, I suppose down Chatham, it's always a thing, isn't it? You take your kid boxing and it's a righteous way of passage, isn't it, in Chatham, in a way?
And he was small as well.
Oh, so. I was
tiny. Really small. So yeah, that growth spurt, didn't
you? Yeah, well, spurt, a little bit. I met some long lifetime friends down there. Danny Shannon, he's still my best mate now. Jordan.
See him last
night. Yeah, Doug Shannon. Pain in my ass sometimes, but I love it to death. Pain in your dad's ass sometimes, but that's death as well. Jordan Dennis as well.
Yeah.
He's still a fantastic friend of mine. I speak to him all the time, him and Grant. We had Bill Cherry down there, Tommy Allen, Job. I think actually Adam Dingsdale was down there at the time. He turned out to be another fantastic boxer from Medway. And obviously Grant was down there as well. And we had Bill, who was a right character of a trainer as well, as we all know Bill.
Did you get carded then or?
My first amateur. Yeah, this is making laugh. My first amateur, this is to make Bill laugh. No one watched this. We drove all the way down to Devon and I fucking melted. I melted. I was only young. I got down there and I can't do it, Dad. I said, I can't do it. I don't know what it was.
Worst day of my life. Didn't know where to stick my face.
And then we had to drive all the way back in the traffic. I think to God, it was the most tense car journey I've ever had in my life. And then...
How old
would you do? I was about 11, 12. Yeah. But I was, like I said, I had a problem with my own confidence back then because I was half getting picked on and stuff. So get in the ring and... Get me in the gym, I'd spar anyone. It wouldn't bother me. But as soon as there was people there and like...
The mindset.
I see this
real
kid walking around all cocky while I was boxing. I thought, oh shit, I shit myself. I just couldn't do it. I just froze. So I had a little bit of time off, didn't I? And I went back for him to prove a point because I didn't feel like the man, the right passage. And I went back and I got hungry for it really, didn't I? I sort of grew up a little bit and I toughened up a little bit.
Yeah. So you get carded. Fight, when do you have your first fight then after coming back home?
I can't remember, I'm going to tell you. How old was I, do you reckon? 19? Yeah. After that?
Oh, so you have a bit of time off.
Yeah, yeah. Just... I always went to training, did a few gym shows, stuff like that. Did a few charity ones.
Yeah.
Just like when they did a few little charity ones. I think with a pal of mine, Felix, had one who passed away. They did a charity one.
That's Ryan Glennie, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Ryan Glennie, yeah.
Felix, yeah. So.
Yeah, a lot of mismatches, didn't you?
Yeah, a lot of, I had quite a few because what happened was I went to prison as well.
And, right.
I come out of prison and I sort of see Todd Mills and he was down at Knuckles Gym.
Yeah.
With Chris Butcher and this unlicensed thing had come about and I'd never really heard of this unlicensed thing. So I'd only ever known as amateurs and the pros kind of thing. So I thought, oh, I'll pop down and see what that's about. Because Todd said to me, like, what are you doing there? You're out, don't want to be getting in trouble, knocking about the same idiots, doing the same thing. So I thought, no, he's right. So we went down. I met this lovely bloke called Chris Butcher, who still to this day now, that was back in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Still to this day now, he's one of our closest friends, isn't he, Chris? Yeah, Chris. We love Chris, he's a very good friend of ours. He kind of took me under his wing, really, and kept me out of trouble. Danny Shannon was down there as well, so we kind of got reunited with him, yeah. Which was fun. But yeah, Bill Armour was down there as well. Another fellow, I ended up boxing on his promotions. He was, we had some really good boys down, we had some good laughs as well.
So taking it from your point of view, as his dad, was it always going to be, did you always want him to go boxing or was it the fact he was getting picked on at school that...
He was always going to go boxing. From a kid, he was always going to go boxing.
Was it an interest from Lee or was it an interest from you to then pass down to Lee?
Well, I had two brothers. One of them was a boxer. He got me sort of like, he didn't get me into it, just I used to like him doing what he was doing. So I just went off on my own back and said, box down in Fulham in London.
You'd never really been into football, have you, really, before?
No, it's always been in football. Then I was a jockey. And then, but I always wanted him to go fighting because, as I say, you've always got to look after yourself, haven't you?
Yeah.
I'm a great believer in don't do nothing to them unless they hit you. Once they hit you, it's...
It's fair game. So you get to your first amateur fight.
Yeah.
How are you feeling now then?
Yeah, all right. Hungry. I was up for it.
Yeah. And then jumping in.
Yeah. Got the win. Can't remember where it was. Got the win. And then I sort of, I didn't really stay in the amateurs. I went straight into, there's no money in the amateurs. I'd just come out of prison. I was a little bit skint. And then I boxed a boy called Carlos Yates. And this is where fucking rivalry started.
Yeah.
And if he's watching this, anytime, Carlos. anytime, I'll come out of retirement. I wasn't really trying to make excuses about it. I wasn't really training. I just jumped in there, really, didn't I, for the money. And he sort of got the win. And it started a bit of, like, over the years.
Back and forth.
He was meant to have a rematch. I broke my hand at work, didn't I?
Yeah.
I wanted to do the fight still, but...
Whose show was that on?
I think that was on Elaine Myers.
KBO.
It was an all right little fight, a bit scrappy. It was a bit scrappy, but I'd been away for a little while.
Yeah.
So you sort of lose that sort of, you lose your rust, didn't you? Your little sting, your little, you get that, you sort of, you know, you can see the punch coming, but you just can't get out of the way of it. And that's why I retired as well when I was down at King Gloves. I'm sparring all these young lads and that, and I'm thinking, I can see their punches coming. I just can't back away. Yeah. Like, I'm 32 now, these little 19-year-olds here, like, I'm jabbing me up in that, bro. I'm getting a bit done in. And I'm trying to hit them, and I just can't. And I'm thinking, I think it's time to fucking hang it all up there and just pass it on.
So you lose your first unlicensed fight then?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And then...
Actually, no, that weren't my first unlicensed one. That wasn't. I went down to Portsmouth.
Yeah, and you feel the
geezer. He was fucking massive, really.
He was built like a brick.
Oh, man.
He ironed me out in the third round. He was mad. I got in the ring, Todd Mills, Chris Butcher and Frank Mensah.
Yeah.
And Garsho.
Yeah.
They was doing my corner and Todd looked at me and we went down there and everyone was cheering for him and this fella come walking out and I thought, cool, they carrying him. And then I see him go sitting under the rope, even over the rope. So I thought, cool, brother, he's a big fella, isn't he? And Todd went, you sure you want to do this? And I'm like, I'm in here now, though, innit? I've got to put up a fight. So I thought, I'll give it a go, see what happens.
What weight was you fighting at?
I think I weighed in at that one at like 65 and he was like 72, 73. Right. But he was like, I reckon he's about 6'1". He was massive, mate. He was like a Johnny Green Giant. He was a big, he beat me. But I wasn't really taking it seriously, the training then.
Mm.
I was out quite a lot. Mojo's was on the scene.
Yeah, Mojo's. The next to Amadeus.
Yeah. No. That's Mango Joe's. Mojo's was down the Command House.
Oh, okay.
So the house music scene first started coming about. I was always at party down there. Chris Butcher used to drag me out of bed. I'd still be a bit
wavy.
Yeah. I'd be going training at like 8 in the morning, like, feeling horrible.
When he won his first that Kent belt, he'd been out to 2 o'clock in the morning on the piss.
I thought it was the week after.
I can't believe it. I thought it was the week after.
It was the week after.
You're fighting today.
And I was boxed. Benny May boxed on that show as well. Boxed off. That was a tough fight for Benny May, actually.
Dick Thompson.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was him. I was doing the undercard there.
Yeah.
And I got a phone call. I was actually in the Prince's Park pub with John McDonough, God rest his soul, my pal. And, I think a few others, and the phone rang. It was Ben Davis. He went, "Where are you?" I went, "Down the pub, mate." He went, "The fuck you doing down there?" I went, "Having a beer, bro." He went, "You're fighting today?" I went, "No, I ain't. That's next week." He went, "No, fucking ain't, Lee. That's today, bro." I was like, "No, I said, Ben, I've been out all night, mate. Like, I'm having there with the dog." He can't pick me up. I have to go down Sitting Bull, and everyone's down there looking at me like, I'm thinking, am I going to do this? I fucking did and all. I did it somehow. He's still wobbly. No, I'm just pissed. He ain't caught me. I sobered up real quick for that. I sobered up instantly for that. That was obviously, that wasn't a natural habit of me doing things like that. That was
I just think it was a Stella in the water bottle.
One off, yeah. The two's on a fag halfway through.
Was it the KBO? Was you exclusive to the KBO team?
That's what I didn't really like about the unlicensed. It was like, if you box for me, you box for us only. But I didn't really like all of that, really. I didn't really like that side of it. And I felt like a lot of promoters, they was just after the money, really. They didn't give a fuck. They didn't really give a fuck about people or their health in there or the mismatching and the damages it can cause and stuff like that. And I thought, maybe that's why it's unlicensed and the pros sort of fucking hate it so much because of how it is. But I do think there are some great unlicensed shows out there. There are some really good ones on there. We all know behind closed doors things goes on shows and that, but that's how happens in everyday boxing kind of thing these days, doesn't it, to be honest with you?
Do you know, like, did you have ambition to go with anything whilst doing that?
Well, I used to train a lot with Pat Orley, and he used to say to me, "Lee, you should go pro, blah, blah, blah." Like I said, I never really wanted to do boxing. My dad got me into boxing. I just happened to be good at it. Mm. And I thought, it keeps me out of trouble. It was really good for my mental health, boxing as well. Like, I've got quite bad ADHD. As you can tell, I can't sit still. It did really help. And my mum used to say, "I notice a difference when he's not in the gym." So my ambition really was, now as I've got older, I realised the ambition was more for my mental health than it was to sort of reach any. Well, it was a goal in itself.
One of the reasons of doing the podcast, one of the reasons I do the stuff that I do is purely because of this reason.
Yeah.
So I remember, though, I left the military, come out of the military, and then life obviously falling apart. Somebody basically went, "Go and get your, sort yourself out." They had the boxing gym at the back of Queen Charlotte. Knew you for when you was at school, and then met him and his brother were there, and then from there I was like, so the mental health advocate, massive, boxing and mental health, I think, are go hand in hand together.
Any sort of training.
Yeah,
but I don't really box now because of my knee, but I go out the gym a lot now, and even that itself, it's a great release. I used to find running as well was. I could run for miles. I put my headphones in. I could run and run and run. If I was feeling like shit, I'd go for a run, and before I knew it, I'd be 5 miles down the road. It was like things like, I do believe in the mental health at the minute as well is terrible. And I do think a lot of it is to do with drugs. I do say like as well, you can't preach. One thing I've learned, you can't preach. You're down and you're pressed all the time. You're drinking and you're taking drugs.
Yeah, that's it.
Take the drugs and the drink out for a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Right. Do you know what I mean? Everyone likes to fucking dabble in things, that's fair enough. But when it starts affecting your life and your family and stuff, you've got to sort of wake up. And I think a lot of it isn't mental health. I think a lot of it is addiction.
Yeah.
And I think it kind of blindsides the people that have really got the mental health. Yeah, need the help. Does that make sense in a way?
but I think like with boxing
and
things,
and you get a family out of it as well. Like every boxing gym I've been in is a family.
Yeah,
well, they are family. They are my friends. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? They are my brothers in there.
Yeah,
they've all got your back. They all love. They all support you, promote, help you. Like everyone's in there to help each other. Like you get in there, punch each other's head in, and you shake hands and go. Yeah,
it's a weird sport. It's such a weird sport. Like the amount of sparring that we've done.
Yeah.
Like, and you just go, well, that's it. You punch each other up, and then you go, oh, brilliant. All right. Well, let's see what's next. Yeah. It's such a. And
tell the kids to sit down.
Yeah. Like, I think people that don't fight don't understand that tick of where a fighter goes. It's a strength.
It's respect. And that is where it says that the boxing is the discipline side of it. You gain that respect of people. You do gain respect from people. Do you know what I mean? And it is a respectful sport. It's a very bitchy sport at times as well.
Oh, yeah.
A very, very bitchy sport. But it is a very respectful sport. And I'll do any sort of, even the cage fight and any sort of cut-off. I fight anyone that gets in any sort of combat, no matter what it is.
It takes a lot for a person to get into a ring and you two button heads together with a crowd all around you. You've got these kids going around with knives and things today, don't you?
Yeah.
Put them in a ring and they're nothing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Of course.
So,
going back to you on the unlicensed scene. Yep. So you've had the fight on the KBO show on the what happened next?
From there on, I went and met, I think I got introduced to Peter Stoughton. Pete Stoughton. I can't remember what his promotion was back then.
The UK.
Yes, I think it was the UK.
He still runs it now. Yeah. It's 15 years.
How long has it been now?
Yeah. And he's doing, him and Damon Lake do Cage Collision now.
Damon, he's a pro cage fighter.
He was, yeah. They're doing the MMA stuff, doing the Cage Collision as well. So it's more shows.
Yeah, I've noticed that the pop and the more the bare knuckle now as well. Which is fucking brutal. God, mate.
So you get introduced to Pete.
I boxed on there a bloke called Dan Mitchell, I think it was, and I beat him. At that time, I think I was selling about 4 tickets, and two of them I was paying for my mum and dad. Do you know what I mean? I think I was giving them away. and then from there on, I boxed a couple of times for Pete. Boxed a fellow called Dan Raymond. He beat me, but that was a bit of a mismatch. Both our fighters didn't turn up on the night, so we thought, fuck it, we'll get in. Chris Butcher was doing my corner, threw the towel in, I kicked it out, and 10 seconds later, I got knocked out anyway. But at least I went out of my shield, I suppose. From then on, who did I fight? I can't think now. I've gone to a blank.
Happens, doesn't it?
Does happen. I think I sort of met you along the line as well, Sam, didn't I? Down at Casinos. Matty Bowie. I was living in Portsmouth at the time. I literally come down on Friday. Yeah. I said, I'm going to go see the boys down at St. Mary's. And Matty was like, do you want to fight tomorrow? I went, oh, fuck it. I'll never go. I had someone else's gum shield in, someone else's shorts.
I'm just going to say this as well. No,
because I weren't up there, I was fighting because I was
on that show as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So I fought Mark Kingdom on that show.
Mark Kingdom.
But I'm sat here looking at you. And I'm like, how the fuck did you two fight?
He was a bit skinnier then, weren't you? He was a bit small. That was a few years back.
So
between sort of 65 and 67, I used to be. I used to sort of sit naturally at 6'6".
I was weighing 77, and Matty Bowler come up to me the night before the fight and said, do you want to fight? And I said, oh, I'll do it. But I said, you got to lose like 7 kilos. I'm trying to make it happen. I didn't eat, I didn't do nothing. And then, it was against lovely Lee Nuno.
That was a good fight. He's my first southpaw I boxed. I'd always used to spar like Todd's southpaw.
Yeah.
And Charlie Shane, obviously. Oh, he can hit.
Yeah, Charlie.
I used to love watching them two spar. Charlie Shane, Dan Shannon. They fucking knock lumps out of each other. Yeah. I used to be like, I'm pretty sure someone should be in the ring with them. But they used to go at it. They did.
So you fight him, and then you're popping around on different shows.
Yeah, I used to just freelance. I used to just sort of go and do my own little thing.
Yeah,
I didn't used to get too. Like I said, boxing can be very political.
Yeah,
Very, very political. I mean, and I'm not saying I'm fucking, I'm shit up boxer, but when you're an half decent little boxer going, well, you can only box for us. Because yes. they want to, because they know at this point I was selling a few tickets. Like, I got to the point I was selling about 150 tickets a fight.
Fucking hell. That's, I was doing really well. How did you find tickets, Alan?
Fucking pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm like, what's the promoter for then? Surely that. I'm not saying like I'm digging any promoter out. Like,
it is though, isn't it?
Yeah, like, I used to feel like there was quite a bit of pressure put on you, but then sort of. You sort of, with anything, adapt to the situation and learn how to deal with it in the end to keep everything at me. I should just say in the end, give the tickets, I'll give you the money at the weigh-in or whatever, and just leave me to it.
Yeah.
If I need more, I'll come and see you.
I think that's how I ended up. I was doing the ticket selling. I was just like, give me the tickets.
But to be honest, all my friends and that, I can honestly say fair play to them. My dad's made it to every single one, even when he was living out in Spain. He used to fly home and come watch me box, so I can't thank everyone enough, really. I've done quite a bit as well, give quite a bit of it to charity. I've done quite a few things. The Oliver Fisher Award at Medway Hospital.
Yeah.
Because I did a fight for Ron Wood's grandson, Milo. He was born a bit premature and I was in the pub one day with Steve Arden. I was listening to his story about his nephew and I thought, oh, fucking hell, that sounds terrible. And I thought, oh, we should do something to try and help out. So I thought, fuck it, I'll just box and give the money.
Mm.
So that's what we've done. I boxed on a Bilal show, EBO. I boxed a tough lad called Charlie Hutchinson.
Yeah, it was a
fucking hell. He was 19 and I was like, he's only 19. Yeah, he got his fucking man strength, yeah? Was I fucking wrong? But yeah, he busted my ribs in the second round, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, mate, after the fight, I was throwing up blood, pissing blood, I was at the hospital. Well, I used to be a sucker for a body shot because I used to go out and piss all the time, go training, go sparring, get up guts, and I was like, fucking went. And obviously, over the years, it became known that I was bad for body shot. And I think in the end, I just got used to getting it in the body, didn't I?
Well, you train more for it on your stomach,
then. Yeah, as I got older, I started getting a bit more of my head down into training. I boxed him. I boxed him for 5 rounds, and he gave me one of the hardest fights of my life, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah,
he worried me. Yeah, I was trying to see Sam come back. But he honestly did. So I really underestimated him. Really so did.
You've won a Kent title,
KBO, Kent welterweight title. I've won the EBO welterweight silver and gold belt, and there was another one. I can't remember what that was.
So you're winning all the. I'll start that again. Fucking hell, my voice went. So you're winning all these titles. Does the pro? Did it interest you to turn over or?
It did a bit because I've got a few friends that have done it, like Jordan Dennis, Danny Shannon, Grant.
Right, I was going to say there's loads, like Charlie, Mick
Miller. Yeah, exactly. I can't even name them all. Yeah, so it was always sort of like, but then, like I said, it was more to do with the whole you've got to sell this many tickets, you've got to be able to do this, do that. And I thought, fuck this.
Yeah, the easiest, the grand for the house, the grand for the opponent.
Exactly, what I mean.
All of that.
And I'm not being funny, I don't do it for the money, but it's nice to get a few quid out of it when you get your head punched in instead of walking out there with nothing. You've got to have a couple of days off work because it don't pay the bills.
Yeah, you're obviously working at the time.
Do you know what I mean? And the money's going to everyone else, but why is it not going to the fighters enough? Do you know what I mean? I don't think when you're first starting off pro.
Would you, Dave, have liked to watch Lee go pro, or was it just a case of...
Yeah, I'd like him to go pro, and a lot of people used to say he should have gone pro, but Lee being Lee what he is, he does what he does, and...
He's his own man.
I grew up too late, in a sort of way, with that sense. I wish I did, in a way.
I mean, it's a great kid. He's done a lot for these charities, and he's earned a lot of money for these kids and these charities. Mm. And...
I've earned a few quid out of it myself as well.
He's
you've got to think you get paid by the ticket money, didn't you? I used to have a little deal out of him on the tickets and say, this is what I want per ticket.
And like, he's won 4 belts, he's done enough and his knee's gone now, so he can't fight no more.
Yeah.
Unless he gets that sorted out in the hospital, which is
unlikely.
I was going to say, I'll come to that a little bit later. After Peach, you was on Matty Bowler. Did you go back
I went back to St Mary's. I was going to go back in, because Matty was like, you're wasted going to the, you should go back into the amateurs. So I was going to go back into the amateurs. And then I got carded up. I think I had my first kid then, Amelia. This was back in 2015 then. So I had my first child immediately then. So obviously you have a kid, you know what I mean? You've got to have a commitment to going to the gym. You've got a stressed out woman at home. So you've got to sort of like go to work. You ain't really got time to be going down there. And it sort of like fizzled out like that, which was a shame really. But yeah, but Matty Bowler started doing a few shows. So I just sort of like, I used to like the fact that I could, because like when you do the amateurs, you'd literally get a phone call and, oh, you're fighting tomorrow. I couldn't do that at that short notice. Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm working. I've not got time to get down to the gym 24/7. I was scaffolding as well, which is quite an odd job.
Yeah.
Physical job, then going down and then being told to, I like the fact with the unlicensed and stuff, I could have 3 months off, go back, train for a few weeks. Because when you've trained most, I've trained since 10. Dad's always done stuff. I mean, you don't start riding a bike, you don't lose it.
Yeah, no, I get
what you mean. You just need to get your fitness up, just get that bit of shot. It doesn't take that long. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's why I didn't really sort of fancy the amateurs at the time. I was out enjoying myself. I just had a kid. Then I was out enjoying myself with the boys and stuff a lot. And like I said, I sort of wish I did knuckle down a bit more when I was younger with it, to be honest.
So when did you stop?
When?
Yeah, when?
Well, I had my last fight just before I went to Canada. That was July just gone, I think.
July, so you're quite recent then.
What show was on a charity show as well.
What show was that?
That was for Darren Clayton.
Right.
From Ken Gloves, which is my gym, my home gym, Ken Gloves.
And you had a total of how many fights?
On the unlicensed one, I think I've had about 20-odd. Over 20, I think I lost 4.
That's a good. And then the amateurs, you had 1.
3.
Oh, okay.
3, lost 1.
Yeah. So you've had a good go at it.
As I got older, I did. Sort of, you find your bollocks a little bit more as you get older, don't you? And sort of, you go through puberty, you find
you pump your chest out.
That's it. Start drinking in the pub with boys.
So the and then there's no for now. What's next for you?
I don't know. I was coaching for a little bit. Kent Gloves, been down at there. They've been fantastic to me down there. I couldn't think of a better gym. I've known Bim and his family since I've known his kids since they were babies. He's known me since like then. Yeah, brilliant, Jimmy. He put me through a few courses, give me an opportunity to coach down there, and I sort of was doing a few with the kids down there, and sort of doing a few bits and bobs for people's kids. It was nice, really, because I was having parents coming up to me saying, like, oh, my kid was really shy. They've been around you a little bit, and now they're coming out of their shell. Like, you sort of bring that out of people. I'm quite a bubbly person in that sense. I'm quite a fun person. Do you know what I mean? I'm quite good with the whole kids in the gym sort of scenario. I make them work. I used to make them work hard as well.
Saying about the ADHD, you and Charlie Shane definitely got something in common. Both of you talk really fucking fast.
You've got so much to say in such a little time to say it.
But yeah, so will you be coaching or is it?
I don't know. I was recently helping out Bill Beck down at Johnny Armour's place, which was quite nice to sort of go from the first person new coach with you to go coaching with him. Yeah, it was quite a good thing. But to be honest, it's my knee. Work's got to come first.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Hopefully.
Because you've got to provide.
Touch words. If everything does go well with my knee, I will sort of see what I can do in that sort of way. I do now and again. I do bits with my pals and that down the gym and stuff. A few of the younger boys, I do pads and that with them every now and again. I'll always sort of stay involved in it. I don't think I'll ever have my foot out of the pond. I think I'll be one of them ones. I'll be on another charity show when I'm 50 cent.
having the midlife crisis.
That's it. I think I will, to be honest. But it's just the love of the sport. It gets old of you. It really does get old of you. But I have started losing love with the sport a bit as well. We've seen all these like YouTubers and stuff. I'm getting bored of watching it all on the telly. I don't agree with it personally, and I think it is ruining.
No, I don't knock anyone making a pound note, but
come on, there's people out there that are busting their bollocks off to even get in the ring that could do 20 times better than any of them, but because they've already got a few quid around them, they've been fucking putting a lot.
My idea would have been, if you're going to do that because you're going to bring new eyes to the sport, which can be a positive, but litter it with pros.
Mm.
So have you
the undercard or pros, up and coming pros,
or litter it
up and coming pros? Litter like that boxer does. Is it boxer? The show boxer?
Yeah, Steve Goodwin does it.
Yeah. I feel them. I know Tilly. What's his name? I forgot his last name. I think Ken Gloves. He went on there. He used to fight for Lee Page.
Oh.
Brooklyn Tilly. But I would have gone to say pros and then get your L Brook and then pro, then your KSI. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
instead of have a 10 fight like card, to have five of them where it's just you shit YouTubers.
Yeah, no, I'll make that 100% work. Give someone a shot.
Do you know what I mean? And then yeah, look at the lads that are, like you said, busting their ass, fucking selling tickets, doing all of that
getting
shit.
Getting in the gym when they should be somewhere else at home, or do you know what I mean? Mm. Blood, sweat and tears. People like that. We deserve a shot. But that's boxing.
That's fair.
Isn't it?
Anything else you want to add? Or no? Anything you want to add?
I've got a question for you.
Huh?
I've got a question for you. I've got an 8-year-old son, and he's recently said, "Dad, I want to do what you did." All right, fair enough. Seeing Lee win, and obviously he's lost a few.
Yeah.
Emotions in that. How do you feel on that?
Emotion wise,
do you feel like, because me, I'd be up in the ring wanting to batter the other guy.
Yeah, I do sometimes, but it's the name of the game. It's a sport, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like going to football, isn't it? You win, you're praising them up, and all things like that. If they lose, you give them a cuddle and say, I think it's a great game to be in. I love the game. He loves the game, don't you? Mm. Both you two love the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get hurt sometimes.
Yeah, it's just up in my head, it's kind of a, he's 8 years old. I can't
really
see him get
it.
It
builds character, though.
Did you
take him to the gym?
No, well, I literally, at the moment, I'm at home doing stuff with him now and again. And then,
well, that's how I start doing things in the garden.
Yeah.
Things like that.
That's good. My two, they are completely different. My younger one, I think, will end up in a gym, boxing gym. My older one. Probably be a dancer. That's what I mean. I can't even, that's whatever he wants
he'd
to do.
He'd be able to help him with his footwork. That's how I've got my footwork. We used to have a 14 stone Rottweiler. I used to be in the garden doing shadows, and he'd be half bounding around me. I'd just step around him and move around him. It was more mum used to get upset, didn't she, when she seen me box?
Yeah, so if he's that interested in it, I'll let him go along with it.
Yeah.
You might get one punch in the nose and you think to yourself, oh, I don't want to do that. Yeah. Or he's going to say, like, if I love it bad, let's go again.
Yeah.
It's like my last fight, I took my little girl to it for the first time. First time I've ever let her come. She's 8, yeah. She's seen me sparring down the gym and stuff. She loves it. Like, she used to love coming down there, didn't she? And I let her come in 40 seconds in, we clashed heads. Fucking, I lost 2.5 stone for that fight as well. Yeah. You started me and Dan Almond.
Where?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. The food I was eating, I was eating nothing really. It was just horrible.
It was gaunt, basically.
Yeah, I was weak. I was feeling really. I felt saying I feel weak. I didn't feel weak, to be honest with you, because I felt like my natural weight anyway is 66 kilo, and I was like, I think I started at 75, 66 because I'm eating all the shit food.
Yeah.
I'm out drinking the beer. I cut the beer out. I cut the shit food out, and I went and got on the diet, and I managed to do it. Don't know how. And then straight after fight, I put 4 stone back on, didn't I? But I went to Canada for a bit, so the food over there is a little bit different.
Massive.
I did a bit of boxing over there.
Yeah.
I went to a boxing show, and I was talking to one of the promoters. He said, pop down to the gym. So I thought, oh, I'll go down there and I'll have a go. And I had a little move about a few of the boys down there. And a lot of them was, there was ex-cage fighters, and I don't, the woman kept saying, you don't move your head. Look at how you've got to learn. And I was just popping them. Like, they was just standing there like that. And I'm thinking, I'm not even trying to get out. But then when I think about it, I couldn't really name a professional Canadian boxer apart from Lennox Lewis, if you want to say that. But
David Lemieux, is it Lemieux? The super middleweight lad.
The one I fought Billy Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's Canadian. Yeah, I don't know how you say his last name, and because I'm a fucking idiot.
But no, honestly, boxing, everything aside, boxing is really something I think everyone thinks should be a bit like national service. Every sort of kid from the age 30.
It used to be in schools, didn't it?
Yeah, it's teaching in schools. That's where the store boys come from, I think.
I think it should be taught. I think you'd find a lot of, like you were saying earlier, a lot of stabbings that won't happen because that boys actually will know better, like more how to fight and stuff like that.
And I think it gives you respect as well. He's always been brought up with respect, to respect his elders and things like that. And that's why he does a lot for charity, because he wants to help people.
Yeah, because you'll get humbled as well. Always be someone there that'd be better. Like you'll go to someone there, and you'll, do you know what I mean? Only the rare occasion that you can only name a couple of fighters that have not lost.
Yeah, Yeah. Mm. I mean, when I started, I lost my first four fights, I think.
Yeah. Happens. Build character.
Just carry on, don't you? I liked it. I like the training. I like the sports I'm just going on.
I like the fact that, yeah, like I said, it gets you off, gets the kids off the streets. They're down the gym. They're making friends. Yeah, they're becoming gentlemen.
It's not friends. It's like a family.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Like you go out with your gym, you do things with your gym. We go out and have dinners and stuff. Like get me and Danny Shannon. At the time, we was all going to his christening for his little girl, and like it was just a whole family thing. We used to go out of Chris's. We used to go out of Chris's house, have barbecues and that. Like we was always, instead of being out in the streets, because I've done all that being out in the streets, like the estate, being a little shitbag and. You don't get you nowhere, you're sent to prison. Do you know what I mean? So, you see, but you've got two roads to go down as sort of becoming life, and it is hard. Yeah. But I think boxing is definitely a good, or any sort of combat sport, karate, anything really, is the right sort of road to go down to keep your mind disciplined as well, in a sort of sense. Teaches you boundaries, and it teaches you a bit of character to get punched in the face.
Yeah, it does.
It lets you know your pain, but it lets you know you're still human.
Yeah, literally,
you know,
sure.
That's what all
And I like, I used to, like, when we was down to, don't say people's names. Like, you'd be sparring and they'd be flinching, and you're like, why are you flinching, bro? Like, I'm not being funny, this is fucking boxing. You're going to get fucking punched in the face. Simple as.
I think that takes time. I think that takes time, though. I think that takes time. I think over time you get that. Where you'll get hit. There'll be one time.
But I don't think it hurts.
No,
that's
now,
why I say don't flinch. Now, don't hurt.
But now, do you think that now, because you've been hit so many times? I think you grow into it. Because I remember when I first started, I used to put my head down. Yeah. And then I had Frank Mensah.
Yeah, yeah.
Always used to be on my case. Don't get your head down. Don't put your head down. Don't put your head down. As I've got older... and then you're there.
Yeah, when you put it like that, I suppose you're right. You do something, and so many often times you become immune to it in a sort of way, didn't you?
And when you get it,
we used to get told by Bill Bett, no matter how, because back in the amateur days, if your head snapped back, the ref would give you the standing eight, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
So we used to get told, don't let your fucking head come up. You keep yourself there all the time. Yeah, that's it. You do not let that head spring back, no matter how hard he hits you. You keep it still.
Well, I will ask this question twice. I'm going to ask this for you, and then I'll ask this for you as well, Dave, after. Obviously, you've listened to the show, I imagine, and we always try and get people their best boxer, different attributes, past, present, don't matter. So if I was to say best footwork, let's put you on the spot.
Whatever.
For you, who do you think, past, present, doesn't matter, you think's got the best footwork?
I think, take away all the dancing and showboating, he would have been a lot better with his footwork, and that's Prince Nazeem.
He hasn't come up, actually. It's underrated.
I think his footwork, to be able to do that, and then all the dancing and that, if he was to have done it seriously, he could have been the Lemonchenko of his time.
Yeah. His footwork. What about defensive skills?
Alvarez Canelo, all day.
Yeah.
Chin?
Canelo and Triple G, innit? Fucking. And for England, Carl Froch.
Yeah. Punch power?
Canelo.
Boxing IQ?
Canelo. Canelo's my man. He has been since day one. I think the way that he's adapted to the sport, and he's the fact that he's gone up and down weights, and he's held it against his own, and he's never ducked any fucking man. Anyone who wants to have it with him, he say, truthfully, you ain't good enough. I want it with him. He's never, for me personally, I think he would have, if he was a little bit older and been through it a little bit more and they met at both their primes, I think Canelo would have beat, he'd have found Mayweather eventually, got him, and he'd have busted him.
I disagree. I think you got Mayweather.
You're wrong.
I think you got young Canelo and a over the hill Mayweather. I know it's a
You've got an inexperience and an experience.
Yeah, but I think he was slowing down at the time, so it's a weird one.
Has he ever slowed down though, Mayweather? To be honest,
with all these exhibitions now,
I'd give up watching them a long time ago. Though I don't.
What about punch power?
I
know my next one. I guarantee I know the answer.
I'll say someone else, but you know, punch power. Probably did have to be Triple G.
And attacking prowess.
Attacking prowess. Coming forward in the attack, Lemonchenko.
Who's that?
And you, I was asked the same questions, Dave. So if I say go with boxing IQ, because I would have to go for it.
Basically, near enough the same as what Lee said. But footwork, I would say like the old man Eubank.
Yes, yeah. Eubank Senior. Yeah.
And punching power. Who's that? Who's the one these boys wants to fight?
Nigel Benn.
Yeah. He's got some power in his punching.
Nigel Benn.
Connor.
Sorry.
Connor
Ben. You know what? When you just said that, I just thought Connor, I should have fucking said him. Because he's very vicious.
He's
every shot he throws, he's thrown to fucking hurt. He wants to really hurt you.
What about defensive work?
Ali.
Attacking prowess?
Hearns.
Chin.
Oh, chin. Well, you've got to say, what's his name, haven't you? Tyson. Spearing.
Sometimes he gets
knocked down on the canvas and gets back up.
Yeah, fair.
That's got to be some chin on him.
And he's lent some
of it to Is there anything you two want to add?
No. Thanks for having us. Yeah, thanks for everyone. Who's ever bought a boxing ticket? All the coaches, Pat Ollie, Kent Gloves, people like Jordan Dennis, Billy Armour. Danny Shannon, everyone, really. Just thanks everyone.
I will.
Thank you, boys, for having us, really.
On that, actually, I put this post up the other day about ticket sales. I've always been, I've been quite critical over recent times about when you put out, say, a message for 200 people, you'd only get 25, 30% that actually buy the ticket. But I think saying, like, to anyone that has brought a ticket to support a boxer getting in the ring, like, fair play. And I think that actually should be a bit celebrated more, I think.
I done it the other day with Jack Watson.
Yeah.
He was going up to Coventry to fight a lad, and he only had got a few people going up there. So I was like, fuck it, I'm going up there. I went up there and watched. He's a lovely boy, lovely boxer. He'll go anywhere. He won't fucking hide from anyone. The boy was a lot bigger than him. He was a lot bigger than him, but that being said, I said to Jack Arthur, because he went, Lee, you won't give me no bullshit. What do you think? I said, your power was matching his power, but you was too small for his power. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So because if you'd gone up to his size and you'd have had that extra 7, because he was only 3 kilos over, he went, no, he won't, because you weighed in at this much, he weighed in at that. So that's 8 kilos on the day. I said, it was 8 kilos on the day. I said, if you'd have had them 8 kilos, your power would have been stronger than his power, because you're matching him already. Does that make sense? I said, you would have been built to take his power. But no, he did box really, really well. And he held his own, to be honest with you. He just got caught with a shot there, mate. And he tried continuing, and he made the right decision in my eyes, to be honest with you. Because you all know how much you're trying to breathe, boy, from them body shots, bro. And it only takes that one in the chin because you're trying to breathe and your eyes start going all dizzy. Before you know it, the old man's in front of you like that, Sam. You're all right, it's starting to wake up.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you. If you like the episode, we're Come Support Podcast, £3 a month on Patreon, and all our socials, the JMS Boxing Podcast. Cheers. Sports Social Podcast Network.